Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Portion of God's word for our consideration today as we celebrate Pentecost is found in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. These profound words of Jesus in John chapter 14 were spoken on the day before he would suffer and die. They were spoken first to a group of men who had been with him for 3 years, who had grown to love him, who depended on him. He had just told them that he was going to be leaving them and that they couldn't go with him, at least not now. These words were spoken to encourage, to comfort, to empower these men over the next few days and weeks and months and years. In these words, Jesus makes a sharp contrast between himself and the world. He says something that forces us to stop and to wonder. He says, "Not as the world gives, do I give to you." Have you ever taken any time to think about those words and what exactly they mean? How does the world give? How is it different than how Jesus gives? Perhaps that question is worth spending some time on this morning as we celebrate God's gift to his church, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it's worth pondering because sometimes I wonder if we miss out on fully enjoying the gifts that God gives because we don't recognize the difference. We don't recognize the difference between how the world gives and how God gives. Perhaps all the while we're wondering why God isn't answering my prayers. Why is all this trouble and hardship and sadness coming into my life? Why isn't God blessing me the way that he promised? Perhaps we're simply looking in the wrong place. Perhaps we're looking for the wrong kind of gift. Perhaps we're looking for God to give like the world gives. On this day of Pentecost, on this day where God kept his promise and gave the gift of the Holy Spirit, we find great comfort in the promises that Jesus first gave to his disciples, but also gives to us. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us, will help us to see the difference between the way that the world gives and the way that God gives. May the Holy Spirit help us to receive what God gives, how God gives it. I have told you these things while staying with you. What was it that Jesus told them? Well, these words in John chapter 14 are part of a 5-chapter discourse that John records for us in his gospel. All of these words were spoken on Maundy Thursday. Jesus started by washing his disciples' feet and giving them the new command to love one another just as he had loved them. He warned them that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. He told them that they would all fall away on account of him, even Peter. He told them that he was going to suffer and die. He told them that he would rise again. He told them that where he was going, they couldn't follow, at least not right now. All these things he told them before he would leave. But the time had come for him to leave. The time had come for God's plan to be fulfilled. And so he talks about what's going to happen when he's gone. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let it be afraid. Can you see the contrast that Jesus sets up here? It's a contrast between him and the world. I don't give like the world gives. And the difference is clear both in the content of what Jesus gives and in the way that Jesus gives. So what does God give? What does Jesus give? Jesus tells us clearly. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I told you. Can you imagine the anxiety that these disciples were feeling on that Maundy Thursday evening? Can you imagine trying to remember everything someone had said over the course of 3 years? I have a hard time remembering what I said 3 years ago. Never mind what someone else said. But Jesus calms the fears of the disciples. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. There was no reason to fear or to worry or to doubt because the Father was sending them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would teach them everything. The Holy Spirit would review for them and remind them of everything that Jesus had taught them over the course of these last 3 years. The Holy Spirit would be with them every single step of the way. And that knowledge, that comfort, brought something to them that the world doesn't give and can't give. It brought peace. True peace. And not just any peace, but Jesus' peace. This is the peace that never ends. This is the peace that comes only through the forgiveness of sins, only through the assurance of eternal life in heaven, only through the knowledge that, yes, we are saved. That peace is what Jesus gave to his disciples right before he went out and accomplished it. Are you ever anxious? Ever worry? Are your hearts ever troubled? Ever afraid? The promises that Jesus made to his disciples, he also makes to you. Everything that Jesus gave to his disciples, he has given to you. He has given you the Holy Spirit. He has given you everything that you need to know about him in his word. And the Holy Spirit helps us, teaches us to understand what God says to us in that word. He uses that word to remind us of what Jesus has done for us and what he wants us to do. And it's through that word that we have peace. We have the peace of knowing that our sins are forgiven. We have the peace of knowing that we have a place in heaven specifically prepared for us. We have the peace of knowing that Jesus has done everything for us. And this is completely contrary to the way that the world gives. Because the world offers no hope beyond this life. The world offers no peace beyond the next terrorist attack or school shooting. So instead of looking to ourselves or looking to the world to offer us peace or help or comfort, let's look to God. Let's look to God and to Jesus and receive what God gives. But not only do we receive what God gives, we want to receive it in the way that God gives it. And that's the other contrast that Jesus sets up here. He says, not as the world gives do I give to you. So how does the world give? There's a couple maxims that illustrate how the world views giving. Here's one that you won't find in the Bible. God helps those who help themselves. Ever heard that one? That's how the world gives. Do you see it? The world gives only after some effort is applied on our part. The natural opinion of the law that resides in the heart of every single person wants to contribute, wants to help. Here's another one. There's no such thing as a free lunch. How does the world give? We have to do something. We have to contribute something in order to receive something back. And in order, unfortunately, that way of thinking works its way into the way that we think about God. And so sometimes we give the impression that we have to earn God's favor with our works. We think that if we try our best, that God will simply be satisfied with that, and then He'll give us what we asked for. He'll give us what we want. But the only problem is that the harder we try, the more we realize how far short we have fallen. The more effort we exert, the more we find the same problems that we're trying to rid ourselves of remaining. And that's where questioning God comes into the picture. If I am trying so hard, why isn't God giving me what I want? If I'm doing my best, why are there still problems in my life? Jesus told his disciples that I don't give like the world gives. If he did, we would never receive anything from God. Because we would never do enough to deserve it. No, God gives simply because He loves. God gives because He has pity on us, because He has mercy on us. God gives freely without expecting any kind of repayment, without expecting any kind of effort up front. God sent Jesus to pay for all of the times that we've complained, that we've doubted, that we've looked to God to give in the way that the world gives. And Jesus came and lived perfectly, and He died innocently, and He rose victoriously, and God gave all of that to us as a free gift. That's how God gives. And Jesus is reminding His disciples of that very fact. How else does God give? God chooses to give through means. And that's why I chose the picture for the cover of the bulletin that I did this morning. You see, the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. If He wanted to, He could go right into the heart of every single person on earth and convert them. He could go directly to them without them ever hearing about the true God, without them ever knowing about the true God, and He could make them believers. But that's not how God has chosen to operate. Instead, God gives through means. God comes through us through His means of grace, through His word, and through His sacraments. That's how God in His all-knowing, omniscient wisdom has chosen to operate. And that's what you see on this picture here. You see the word being proclaimed. That powerful word of God is preached. And the Bible tells us that it is through hearing the word that people come to faith. And so you see faith being created and strengthened as the word is being preached. And then over here you see that same word being connected to the waters of baptism. It's through that word connected with the water that God washes away sin, that He takes up residence in the heart of that little child, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And it's through that same word connected to the bread and wine that God strengthens faith as He forgives sins. It's through that word connected with the bread and wine that Jesus gives us his very body and blood. He forgives our sins in a most personal way. You see, it's through word and sacrament that the Spirit teaches us and reminds us and strengthens us and comforts us. That's how God chooses to give. And it's there where we can receive what God gives. Friends, the temptation is there to look for God apart from his means of grace. The temptation is there for us to look to God to give in the way that the world gives. But looking for God to give in that way is futile. Jesus says, "Not as the world gives, do I give to you." So let's recommit ourselves to receiving what God gives, how God gives it. Let's recommit ourselves to those means of grace. Let's recommit ourselves to spending time in his word, to faithfulness in worship, to making use of the sacraments. Will all of our problems go away if we do this? No. Will God still allow temptation and trial to come? Yes. But God promises his peace, his comfort, his help through those means. God promises that he gives us all that we need through those means. So friends, let us receive what God gives, how God gives it.